We have assisting me in the Opani department, one of my regulars for this time of the day and this time of the week, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney and Washington, D.C. host on Pacifica Radio's WPFW. You can learn more about Mark by going to his website, www.marklevineradio.com. Again, marklevineradio.com. Mark, good to have you back.
Good to be here.
Well, I want to get into other stuff, but I had to give you a chance to take a shot at this. What is it with Rick Perry? He now is characterizing it as joking, but I don't buy it. What say you?
I don't buy it either. I think his advisors told him that even though he's trying to reach out to the crazy lunatic wing of the Republican Party by wink, wink, nod, nod, not sure about birthers, same thing that everyone else did, now they're telling him, you know what, it's not playing anymore, you better quit it, and so he stopped it. Listen, everyone has always known from day one that he was a citizen, and people just tried to play it up to try to scare people. And listen, at one point there was success. At one point, 45% of Republicans had doubt about his birth, which just tells you, I guess, how stupid 45% of Republicans are.
That goes away. I mean, only if you're so incredibly disconnected from the Constitution that you don't even have a passing familiarity with it. The original birth certificate that he gave us was simply inadequate. It did not address the requirements as put forward in Article 2. He did not meet it. But when he did come out with the long form, everybody who said that's all they would need in order to be satisfied proved themselves honest and correct, because once it was produced, they disappeared. They all went away.
But I can't let you get away with the initial argument, because, as you know, Alan, the only form that Hawaii provides is the form that Barack Obama provides. In fact, you may or may not know, he was sued on this basis before he was president of the United States, because the proper time to raise Article II concerns is before the presidency. Interestingly, there was a suit against John McCain as well, because John McCain was born in Panama and therefore, you know, had much more trouble with Article II. But the Democrats decided not to pursue the suit against McCain. The suit against
Hawaii and Panama. Panama was a government enclave and is therefore considered American soil, just like our embassies. If you were born in an American embassy abroad, because that is considered American territory, you are a natural born citizen.
No, but see, Alan, do you hear your convoluted analysis here? Here's what you're saying. The Constitution only says natural born citizen. Okay, this is something that's never been litigated until this last election. There were no court decisions on it.
How is that a measure of its credible component of the Constitution, the fact that it was never litigated before? There's no linking causation between those two somewhat less than enterprising thoughts.
You have a very strange notion that natural born somehow includes the Panama Canal Zone, but doesn't include the state of Hawaii.
It does include the state of Hawaii. No. The state of Hawaii is not it. You know what? Disconnected measures do not an argument make. The only legitimate measure, of relevant points in any dialogue or debate is the one born out of the original rub, first exposing the conflict. The parity is not between Panama and Hawaii. The parity is between Panama versus the fact that this president had not yet, in the minds of many, accurately and sufficiently enough proved that he was born in Hawaii. The problem wasn't Hawaii. The problem was that he couldn't, at least to the satisfaction of many, not be able to show that he was born there. Now, once the long form came out, everybody was satisfied, and folks like you were insisting that even if Obama did show the long form, the birthers would not go away. You were proven wrong. They did go away. Now I want to go on to the next subject.
I was proven right because of Rick Perry. Let me just make one point in your convoluted analysis, and I'll go on to the next
subject. What convoluted analysis? It's accurately dead on. It's dead on.
Your analysis is that the Constitution should be determined by the minds of many, not by what it says or not by the court, that they are the ones who determine what the Constitution means, and that you also are just as certain that Panama is one of the 50 states, and that you're so certain you're right, it's beyond analysis. Let me say that.
No. Judicial review, you know, even what's his name? Feynman? I think his name is Feynman. Bruce Feynman, whatever. Even he acknowledges that judicial review can go too far, and that the living document assumption is an idiotic one. Because if the living document were really the way to look at the Constitution, of course you are, because you're saying you're denying that the average folks have within their power an ability to put a check on their government if they play fast and loose with the Constitution. You're forgetting that the Constitution is the people's written directive to the very government it created, and not one of these branches has the right to thwart the mandates of the very document from which their powers are derived and to which they are each subordinate. Of course you are. If you have something that is denotated quantitatively or connotatively accurately conveyed in the Constitution, and our leaders are not in compliance with it. If it's dead on point, well, then not even the Supreme Court has the right to rule differently, because the Constitution can never be found to be in opposition of its own text. That's
Alan, as usual, you're arguing an argument that I never made to try to make a point that you can't make, okay? All I said was...
I'm responding on point to what you said.
Let me explain the analysis, and then the listeners can decide whether or not it's convoluted.
Okay.
What you said is it's beyond obvious that natural-born citizen includes territory that's not in the United States but is leased by the United States that we're not even sure McCain was born in. That's beyond obvious. But what's not beyond obvious for you is that the official birth certificate issued by the official state of Hawaii...
It wasn't official.
...not good enough.
It was not
the
official. It was, oh, well, hold it. Your assumption means that someone's original mistake can be a legitimate excuse for the ones that are subsequently triggered by it. If you have standards that are themselves predicated on seemingly never-ending variables, they cease to be standards. Hawaii has acknowledged that their short form birth certificate is not as inclusive of as much information as their long form. A state
so
does
what?
Not have a right to trump the expectation of the Constitution.
So
no
what?
State has the right to trump the expectation of the Constitution. You know that.
You know,
I know that.
My driver's license isn't as comprehensive as my taxes, but guess what? It's good enough to drive. The Hawaii birth certificate, it was the official birth certificate.
It wasn't the official.
It was only really loony people who refused to accept the official records of Hawaii as true. And if you're going to keep defending it, I'm going to keep telling you how loony it was.
No, what I'm defending is that the president coughed up information that did not have on it enough data to satisfy the expectation of Article 2 in the Constitution. And by the way, if the long form wasn't the panacea all along, then upon its presentation, we would not have seen all the birthers go away. You just had a large segment of the population that believed that what he put up on that screen was simply not substantial enough. When he came up with the long form, which is more analogous to everybody else's birth certificate throughout the country, everybody was satisfied, the birthers disappeared, and your prediction that they would not was proven wrong. You are with Battleline, Main Street Radio Network. I'm Alan. System in the opining department, one of my regulars for this part of the day and this part of the week, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney and Washington D.C. radio host on Pacifica's Radio's WPFW. You can learn more about him by going to the website of marklevineradio.com. Mark, good to have you back.
Good to be here.
Now, I mentioned about what the super committee's Democrats want to do. They want to go ahead and secure $1.3 trillion in new taxes. The other $1.7 trillion would be in cuts, making it a total debt reduction of $3 trillion. They're demanding the 1.3 in new revenue from the GOP, but the GOP don't seem willing to go along with that. But here's the paradox. If the Democrats drop the 1.3 trillion in new taxes, they'd still be left with 1.7 trillion in debt reduction, more than meeting the standard to avoid the automatic trigger of 1.2 trillion should they not be able to fix this mess. What's your assessment of all of this?
My assessment is the only reason we're in the mess we are is because George Bush vastly increased spending on a couple wars and drastically reduced taxes on the 1% of the richest in America. So that's the reason we're in the trouble we're in, and all you have to do is fix that.
Well, you know, you've
so
heard me.
We need tax cuts. We need to increase taxes to the levels they were for most of our lifetimes.
Well, you do realize that even the New York Times has come out with the fact that the total justification for blaming anybody does reside with both sides of the aisle. I mean, even Harry Reid pointed that out.
How's that? Bill Clinton gave us the greatest surplus in modern times.
Well, it stems out of this repeated line of defense for Obama that of course he inherited this economy from the Republicans. But
of course he did.
As we've covered before, even Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has argued that the foundational reason for all of our economic challenges can actually be found in the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act. Now, this, for people not familiar with that, this was the Depression-era legislation that used to keep commercial banking separated from investment banking. And Reid used that as a justification, actually, to vote against then-presidential candidate Arizona Senator John McCain in 08. Now, it was later discovered that McCain voted against it, while Reid and the majority of both Republicans and Democrats in both chambers actually supported it and that Clinton was the president who signed it into law. Now, given these whole cold hard facts, isn't it more accurate to say that while Obama inherited this mess, it was indeed bequeathed to him by both parties? Mark Levine.
It is certainly true that many of the reduced regulations that the Republicans insisted on reducing under Bill Clinton when they controlled the Congress and that Bill Clinton signed into law are a source of today's problems. We absolutely need more.
How do you say that with a straight face? Listen to how you just characterized that. I don't know.
That's
if
right.
You're not familiar. You know what it is? You're not familiar with history. So let me disabuse you.
Let me disabuse you of the darkness in which you now find yourself trundling.
Over 80% of both parties in both chambers wanted this damn thing, including Harry Reid. Do you understand that? The majority of both parties in both chambers. How do you possibly practice the art of movable standards in which you rename a thing as being something other than what it is to the degree that you just have and still think you're going to be taken seriously?
Alan.
Those are the facts. 80% of both parties supported passing Glass-Steagall, which is currently killing us right now.
Okay, you going to give me a chance to speak?
Sure, as long as it's something based in something that folks can say is real and verifiable and is of historical truth.
Okay. There's virtually no one that blames our entire crisis on Glass-Steagall. That's a part of it. If frankly, Glass-Steagall was both too broad and too narrow. What Glass-Steagall did is it prevented banks and brokerage firms from merging into one and basically allowing banks to trade like brokerage firms. That's what Glass-Steagall did out of the Great Depression, all right? And its repeal is part of the problem, but by far all of the problem. Most of the problem was credit derivative swaps. Most of the problem was Wall Street. Most of the problem, frankly, was getting rid of the bucket shop laws. Now, when this was done, it was done in an omnibus bill where the Republicans put in all the spending of the government, 15 spending bills, before a lame duck president, after George Bush was chosen by the Supreme Court to be president. They threw it in front of Bill Clinton, a bill that George Bush said he would sign, and it would have shut down the government for the last 2 weeks if Bill Clinton hadn't signed it. To blame Bill Clinton for that, I think, is an extraordinary thing. The heart of it is, if there had not been a Republican Congress, this wouldn't have happened.
Harry Reid disagrees with you, though. Harry Reid said that the reason we're in this mess, Harry Reid said, and he hasn't backed off from this, Harry Reid still thinks the reason we're in this mess was because of the repeal of Glass-Steagall, courtesy of Graham Leach Bliley.
Harry Reid never said that the entire and sole reason for this crisis.
No, he just said the reason. He didn't say the entire. He just said the reason.
That's right. That's part of the reason.
So adjusting the standard because it's easier to get through your argument doesn't work. We only have to look at what the real rub is. Harry Reid said the following. Harry Reid said the following. We're in this mess because of the repeal of Glass-Steagall. He didn't say our entire mess, but by adding those additional qualifiers, you are giving the impression that somehow he didn't say what he said. What he said was strong enough. He said the reason we're in this mess was because of the repeal of Glass-Steagall, because but for the repeal of Glass-Steagall, again, courtesy of Graham Leach Bliley, you would not have had Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac as easily able to enable all these banks to hang bad paper.
Alan, Bill Graham was a senator from Texas, a Republican senator who ran for president.
Yep.
Okay, Congressman Leach is a Republican congressman from Iowa. The Republican Congress has been wanting the repeal of Glass-Steagall for 60 years. They finally got it when they had control of the Congress, and Bill Clinton acquiesced in it. Now, if you want me to complain about
you're
Bill
telling
Clinton,
me he acquiesced to that which the majority of his party voted for. You know
I'm
what you're telling me? You're telling me that he acquiesced to that which the majority of his party voted for. He acquiesced to that which the majority of his party voted for. And you're going to tell me that despite that preponderance, oh, it was only the Republicans and not the Democrats, even though numerically, denotatively or connotatively, nothing should be disabusing you more, but still is unfortunately not successful. Nothing should be disabusing you more. You're telling me that despite the fact that there was actually even technically a greater number of Democrats supporting the repeal of Glass-Steagall than there were Republicans, that doesn't matter. It was all the GOP, and the president was forced to acquiesce. You're telling me that Bill Clinton was forced to acquiesce to the party who voted for it in slightly less numbers than did the Democrats.
Alan, let me ask you this.
Did you hear what I asked? You're still telling me, you're telling me that Bill Clinton acquiesced to the Republicans despite the fact that it was the Democrats who had greater numbers in support of the repeal of Glass-Steagall. You're going to stick with that.
Alan, I love that Republicans now are saying that Wall Street needs more regulations. At the same time,
detouring the discussion onto a self-indulgent road of escapism. You can't stick with a Socratic dialogue. You failed.
The Republicans and Democrats for together to reduce regulations on Wall Street, but right now I want to drive them into the dust. I want to prevent Dodd-Frank from going into effect. I want to make sure that Wall Street is unregulated so that corporations can again steal us blind. That's why you have the Occupy Wall Street movement, because of people like you, Alan, that change your mind and suddenly say, oh, now this thing...
I haven't changed my mind. I put forward to you an assertion that is empirically verifiable, and despite the fact that slightly more Democrats voted to repeal Glass-Steagall, you still insist that President Clinton, man, I supported two terms in a row, by the way, and still happy I did so otherwise, but you're telling me Bill Clinton is somebody who acquiesced to the Republicans when it's an association, when it's all relevant to a bill for which more Democrats voted than did Republicans, and yet you still stick to your position that the president then acquiesced to the Republicans.
Do you support more Wall Street regulation now or not?
I support more honest regulation. I think it was disingenuous to allow Frank Dodd to not include Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, despite the fact that those two entities were the chief enablers of all the banks thinking they could get away with hanging the bad paper they did.
Do you support Dodd-Frank?
Not including Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac made it the archetypal representation of perhaps one of the least really dexterous documents ever brought on the face of the planet.
Do you support the Republicans who are trying to thwart the law that's already been made the law of the United States?
No, I thwart both parties who don't practice what they preach and have no capacity for self-appraisal. When I mentioned to you that Glass-Steagall had more Democrats wanting to repeal it than did Republicans, and your response is that Bill Clinton acquiesced to the Republicans to go along with it versus his party who voted for it in greater numbers, I have just exposed someone who's disingenuous.
Really? The Graham-Leach-Bliley bill, when Graham-Leach and Bliley are all Republicans, somehow becomes a Democratic bill because Bill Clinton acquiesced in signing something that would otherwise shut the government
down. You're still missing it, aren't you? Over a greater number of Democrats voted to repeal Glass-Steagall than did Republicans. That is why it's nonsensical to say he acquiesced to Republicans. The reality is both parties were equally horrific in this mode. Both parties, 80% of the Republicans and a little more than 80% of the Democrats out of both chambers supported the repeal of Glass-Steagall. So even though there's slightly more Democrats who voted for its repeal, you still want to stand firm saying that Bill Clinton acquiesced to the GOP versus his own party, even though his own party voted for it in greater numbers. You're stuck in the same cul-de-sac, buddy, and you can't extricate yourself from it. Folks, you are with Battleline, Main Street Radio Network. I'm Alan Nathan.